Stand. Once again, it's so great to have the Spears family here visiting with us. And, let's just make Brother Spears welcome, Brother Shane Spears. God bless you. It's an honor to have you here, brother.
Amen, amen. How about giving Jesus one more hand clap tonight? Lord, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. We serve a great God, don't we? Man, and it's good to feel His presence here on this Wednesday night. I think He's pleased that we all gather and talk about Him and sing about Him. Beautiful worship tonight. Thank you for leading us into God's presence. It's such an honor to be here. Honor to be with your wonderful leaders. And their family, so good to get to know them. And my sweet wife, Taryn, is here, if you didn't get to meet her yet. You will like her much more than you will like me, I promise. And we have two of our four kiddos here tonight, and we decided to spare you guys from all four of them at once. But now the two youngest ones are in Arkansas with my mom and dad, so pray for them. Mom and dad, that is, and everything is good. Now they're having a blast, and Taryn said today, I'm not sure that they've been told no yet since they've been there, so they get exactly what they want, and they love it. So we're here in God's presence tonight. How many believe God has something to say to us? Then we're all in agreement on that. He's here. He loves to gather with us, and He loves it when we come with the purpose and the intention of sitting at His feet and learning from Him. We are called to be disciples of Jesus. And the word disciples comes from the Greek word mathetes, which means learner. So I sit at His feet to learn from Him. Teach me, God. Let Your Spirit move in my heart and in my mind and show me Your ways. That's what we're here to do tonight. So I'm so thankful for that. Before you're seated tonight, if you would, just turn to your neighbor and tell them they look really great tonight. You look really great tonight. I think everybody needs to hear that every day. Amen, amen. You can be seated if you would. I'm going to jump right in tonight. I believe that God is calling His people to step up levels. I believe God's calling His people to accept new callings and fresh anointings. I believe He's calling people to allow Him to awaken gifts in them that have laid dormant. And God has been dealing with Taryn and I for a while on this subject, and I want to share it with you tonight. And maybe next time we come, you can hear from Taryn and you'll really be blessed. I'm really just the warm-up act, to be honest. But I am, in all sincerity, so grateful to have a gifted and a wonderful wife who seeks after the things of God with her whole heart and makes me a better man. All the husbands say amen. By way of a thought title tonight, tell your neighbor, mindset matters. Mindset matters. I want us to jump into the Word at a really familiar place. This is Romans chapter 12, first two verses. You will for sure have heard this before. I'm just going to read these two for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Will you join me in a quick prayer tonight that God would help all of our hearts to be open to hear and receive the seed of His Word tonight. Amen. Lord, help us bring our minds under focus tonight, Lord, from every thought that might distract us, from every care of life and worry or concern. Lord, we actively push those things aside. We ask You for Your help tonight. Speak to us, God. Let our hearts be open to hear You. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. And no matter how badly we might want to move into the next level that God has for us, and no matter how sincerely we might desire to operate in gifts that we've never used before, and none of it can happen if we're holding on to stagnant mindsets and old patterns of thinking. Stagnant and concrete mindsets and old, outdated patterns of thought will utterly and completely keep you from your full purpose in God's kingdom. And to be even more poignant about it, it will allow you to miss out on a shift or a promotion in the Spirit that God intends for you, because God will never elevate you beyond your own mindset. He can't. If you're stuck in a way of thinking about yourself or about Him that is small, then He can't take you into something bigger. One more time, tell your neighbor, mindset matters. What you think matters. Proverbs 23 and 7, again, a passage you'll know. The very first part of this verse says this: for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Solomon makes such a clear and powerful link between what we think and what we are. Your mindset, your thoughts really do matter. So you and I are spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say, yes, I am. You are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's the way you were created, and it's a wonderful thing. Your spirit is that eternal God-connected part of you that will never die. Your soul is comprised of your mind and your will and your emotions. And of course, your body is your fleshly component. So as a being, you are all of those. And in order to move and shift and follow the purpose of God in your life, all of those parts have to be in alignment with the season and the purpose in which you're living. So God calls to you in your spirit. And when He invites you to a new thing, as He's doing for many people in the kingdom during this season, He invites you. It's a call to your spirit. And the result of this call is readily available to you by your response to it. But if your spirit feels a shift and a pull, and we've all experienced that, but your mind and your emotions and your thoughts are not aligned and are not moving in that same direction, then your spirit shift will not last. This is the reason why so many people live in an up and down cycle in their lives. God is calling them to a new level and a new thing, and they shift in the spirit, and then, however, their mindset, their thoughts don't move in the same way, and then ultimately they're dragged back down, up and down, back and forth, unstable, never able to fully shift up into what God wants for them. See, mindsets are simply beliefs that you have about yourself, beliefs that you have about your circumstances, beliefs that you have about your abilities, beliefs that you have about your God, and you have the power to change those things. You can change your beliefs. Therefore, you can change your mind. You can adjust what your mind is set upon. I want us to look at Colossians 3. Paul writes this. Just a short little segment of this verse 3 and 2, he says, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. So in the Greek, the word for affections right here is a word that's often translated in the scripture to be mind or attitude. So we could just as easily say here, set your attitude, set your mind on things above. Set your mind. What Paul is saying is that you have the ability to set your mind. You can decide what your mind is set upon. And that's not only an ability you have, but it's an expectation for us as Christians that we set our minds properly. Paul is saying for us to set our minds on things above. In essence, align your mind with the things of the Spirit. Now, this wouldn't be a command that he gave us if it wasn't something we needed to pay attention to intentionally in our lives. If our mind automatically shifted to what was going on in the Spirit, he wouldn't need to command us to set our minds appropriately. But he does because he knows how we are and how he was. And so he says, set your mind. Pay attention to where your mind is landing. Pay attention to what it's focused on. Pay attention to the habits of thought that you have and move them if they need to be moved. In order for a shift in God's seasons and purposes for you to be lasting, not only do you have to respond in the Spirit as the Spirit tugs and pulls on you and open up to that, but you also have to be intentional about shifting your mindset to the new things. Otherwise, what you get is this pull, this conflict, where the Spirit is moving. It's growing. It's responding to the new direction. And like a rubber band, it's being stretched. But if your mindset is stuck and anchored back in the previous season still, then you as a being, remember, spirit and soul are trying to exist in two different places at the same time. And the result of that is very simply instability. You just can't live that way. And part of you can't go to a new level while another part of you stays in the previous one. You simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. So trying to exist on two different planes at the same time wreaks havoc with you as a whole being. And trying to attend to one thing in the Spirit, but another thing in your mind, simply just will not work. And ultimately, it's the Spirit growth that suffers. It gets pulled back down because the mindset is anchored and it's unmoving. Because mindset matters. If you get that, say, I got it. But you know what, Shane? That's so hard to do. I'm so happy and comfortable with the current thoughts that I'm thinking. I've really decided that they're okay. And I like them. And they make me feel good. It's hard to do that. It is indeed hard to do that. And maybe even more than it's hard to do, maybe it is simply that we don't know how to do that. How do I think differently? It's challenging because it doesn't happen on the same plane that the Spirit shift happens. We get in a service like on a great Sunday and you feel a call from God and some new things and he begins to pull at you and tug at your heart, and we've all experienced that, and open you up to some new things and maybe some new desires and some new vision and some new giftings come and anointing, and you're more than willing to go there and you get excited and there's even some emotions involved, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we get pumped up about it and we want to go for it. But then when it comes to changing our mindset, we often just overlook it or ignore it because either we don't know what to do with it or we don't even know that it matters, that it's a thing we need to deal with at all. Or if we do, we may find that it's just hard to do. To change your mind, to change your thinking, to change your beliefs about yourself, and to change your beliefs about your place with God is hard. And it's hard for a very human reason. Everybody human here tonight? Is it okay if we just be real about that? It's hard because we're afraid. We don't like to say it like that, but that's really what it is. Your thoughts determine who you are. Remember what Solomon's words said in Proverbs? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So changing how you think actually changes who you are. And that's scary because we're usually fairly happy with who we are. And even if it's seemingly good, even if the change and the pull is seemingly good and in our spirit and in that moment we really want it and we desire it and we're after it and we're pursuing it, maybe it's even something we've asked God for. When it comes time to actually begin to change, we resist that change and we just don't like it. And there's a lot of current research around the subject of change and how we humans respond to it. Not spiritually speaking, but just change in general for people. And it's very interesting research, and it sheds this light for us. They found that change is hard for people. That's not revelation, that's just truth. But it's not hard primarily because people fear what's coming that's new. That's not the reason that change is hard. We're mostly okay embracing things that are new and things that are unknown to us. We're pretty much comfortable with that. But usually change is hard because change means that we have to lose something. Change means that it's not that we're uncomfortable going to the new place. What we're uncomfortable with is leaving the old one. And that's what's challenging for us sometimes, is we just don't like that. We don't like to lose old things, and we don't like to give up the comfort and the security of what we've always had. We're just not comfortable with that. And therein is our problem. We resist change because we're fairly comfortable with how we're living. And we're comfortable with it because we've pretty much made it that way. We've dug out our own little ruts. We like the way we live. We like the way we interact with people. We're comfortable with how it is that we talk, how it is that we walk, how it is that we live, and the places we go, and the relationships we have. And we're happy with them. So when change means we have to give some of that up and lose some of it, it becomes a challenge for us. So the hardest part of change isn't about dealing with what's coming. It's about letting go with what has to leave. And when we've worked out who we are and what we're about, and we have to leave that behind to embrace something new, it's tough for us. And we're pumped up on that Sunday night, and we're ready to change our world. But on Monday, when it comes time to change our mindset, we sometimes crumble and we stumble a little bit. And that's just how it goes, and there's the cycle. We feel a pull in the Spirit, and we feel drawn to something new, and we agree to it, and we tell God, yes, I'm in 100%. And then when it comes time Monday and Tuesday to live that out, we find ourselves very easily falling back into the old patterns, and we look back and we wonder what happened to the way I felt. And what happened to it is a very human thing that happened to it. We continued to think in the old ways, and it just kind of pulled us back. Paul said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." This is a process, and we have to do some very specific things in our minds to be ready and flexible enough to make a lasting move. And we'll talk about how to do that in just a bit, but I want to look at the scripture just to anchor this idea for us for just a minute. Hosea 4 and 6, also a passage that you'll probably be able to quote. "My people," the prophet writes, "are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now watch what he goes on to say. "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." God got crucial with his people when they weren't using their minds properly. There's so much in this passage, but I just want to hang out in that first phrase because it's this very sobering thought. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God speaks through his prophet that what happened in the minds of his people was what destroyed them. They rejected God's knowledge. They rejected his ways and his laws. And you see, their problem wasn't that they rejected all knowledge because they simply rejected God's knowledge. They were still thinking things. They still had ideas. They weren't brain dead. They had ideas and thoughts, but it wasn't the current things that God was thinking that they embraced. And they were still believing things and based on that mindset, but those things weren't the current things of God. And as we all do, they were still acting on the things that they were believing and thinking. And they were just simply thinking and believing and acting on the wrong things. They chose to think on the things that made the most sense to them. They said, in essence, and I'm breaking this down a lot because I want you to see how closely this relates to how you and I live as well. What they said is, the way I see things, God, is more relevant, it's more prudent, and it simply makes more sense for my current position than the things that you want me to think and dwell on. My stuff simply makes more sense than your stuff, God. And honestly, if we really get honest with ourselves and honest with what the Word says, they were right about that. Our stuff will always make more sense to us than His stuff will. You get what I'm saying? Our stuff makes more sense to us because it comes from us. and we're comfortable with it. Your way of seeing yourself and your way of seeing your circumstances will always make more sense to you than God's way of seeing those things. Because our way is often based on evidence and experience. We like those concrete things. And those things that we can lock in on our minds. But just let me remind you, God's way of seeing you and your place in His kingdom is not based on anything earthly or anything you've seen or experienced. It's based on what He knows is inside of you, and that He knows what you possess and the potential that you have through Him. And many, many times those things just don't match up. We see the world one way and God's speaking to us about a different view. And we have a choice to make. Where am I going to go? How am I going to think? Where am I going to set my mind? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the prophet says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, God readily tells us that His ways and His thoughts simply don't match up with our ways and our thoughts. Man, we have to get comfortable with that. We have to come to the place where we can embrace the fact that the way I think and see the world is not naturally going to match up with the way God sees and thinks about the world. And if we're going to move and if we're going to shift from where we are into new things, then we have to be willing to let go of how it is that we see the world and our place in it, and be willing to embrace what it is He says about it, even if that doesn't make too much sense to us. God's thought process and our thought process can never mesh with each other except through the door of submission. When we say, "I'm just going to lay mine aside. I'm just going to put it aside." Yes,
sir. I'm not disagreeing with what Brother Shane just said. But Sister Betty Weekly had a stroke. And they had to take her out. They're calling 911. But let's just stand right now as a church and let's pray. Lord, I pray right now for my sister Betty Weekly. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that this condition, this stroke, Lord, I pray it away. I pray the impact that it has and the results and all of those different things, God. I pray, God, for her mind. I pray, Lord Jesus, right now in her brain, Lord God, that You would touch and that You would heal her body right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for my sister. I pray, God, that You would bring a complete healing, that You would bring peace, Lord God, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for this. We worship You and we praise You, dear God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And keep remembering her in your prayers. God bless you. Thank you. You can be seated again. And Brother Shane, I am very sorry for...
Sorry. No problem at all. In Jesus' name, God is our healer. Amen. We trust Him. Amen. So as we go through our lives, if we don't take time and be intentional about submitting our minds and our beliefs to God and allowing Him, inviting Him to do what Paul says and renew our minds, renew it, change it from what it is to what you want it to be, then what we will have happen to us will be the same thing that His people said: "Your ways don't make sense to us, God, and therefore we reject them." Now, we don't ever say things like that because that sounds really harsh and terrible. But reality is that's how we live so many times. God begins to pull us towards something new and we resist it. We're not resisting His Spirit, but we're resisting the change that it requires in us because of our own levels of comfort and our own mindsets. And therefore, we go up and down because God continues to call us, continues to draw us, and we find ourselves in this pattern back and forth, up and down, up in the Spirit but stuck in our minds, up in the Spirit but stuck in our beliefs and our thoughts. And what a tragedy that is. We all find ourselves there. So as the prophet writes about God's people, their mind was set on the wrong things and it destroyed them. And folks, it happens to us all so easily. Stagnant mindsets and old patterns of thinking will cause you to miss what God has for you in this season and in every other season. So we're moving into a season in God's timing and His purpose where He's desiring to bring about new gifts in people's lives and call us to new and fresh and innovative things in His kingdom. And He's ready to open up fresh revelation and fresh understanding to us and to impart new apostolic anointing into His people. And we have to be intentional and purposeful toward preparing our minds for what He has to us. Because here's the problem. You can't move into something fresh when your mind is still settled and comfortable on the thing that is old. You can't change levels and stay at the old level at the same time. You simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. So if we want to go, if we want to grow, if we want to accept the new invitations that God's offering for us at this time, we have to be willing to completely let go of our mental and emotional comfort zones of this current season. We can't stay stuck in these ruts, yet at the same time blaze new paths and new trails. You simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. And we have to really work at this because we're really good at digging ruts. Maybe it's just me, but I'm really good at that. And we're good at establishing patterns of thoughts and habits of mind that make sense to us. And we get comfortable seeing ourselves in a certain way and in a certain place and in a certain function in God's kingdom. And we work in a particular ministry and we attend church on these days and we do these things and we come to church and we talk to these same people. And if they sing Waymaker or Breakthrough, we'll get out and shout and pray at the altar in these particular moves of God. And that's just where we're comfortable. And we're not sinful. We're not wrong. We're just comfortable. And we've settled into the ruts that we've dug. Habits of mind get so deeply entrenched. And then something happens to us, and maybe in our own time with God, or maybe a powerful move of God in a service here, and all of a sudden we realize God has something new or different He's wanting to do for us, or in us something deeper or something more profound. And you've all experienced those moments where you feel that. But accepting that invitation and then actually moving into the new thing doesn't happen automatically. Somebody say process. I think sometimes we're guilty of thinking that when a prophecy goes forth or when a new word comes to us from God, all of a sudden it should just happen. But that's just not how it works. My friend and yours, who you know very well, Brother Morton Bustard, was talking to me not too long ago about the prophetic, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, when the prophetic goes forth, it doesn't automatically happen. And he used this language. He said, you have to appropriate the prophetic. And so knowing that he's a man who uses words very intentionally, let's look at what that word means. It simply means appropriate. It means to take something for your own use, to seize it, to commandeer it, to take over, to grab a hold of it and own it. So when the prophetic goes forth, or when God begins to call you to something, what He's doing is inviting you and me to grab hold of what was spoken and then seize it for ourselves, get a grip on it, and use that leverage to pull us up into this new thing, to take ownership of it and begin to birth it through prayer and through submission to the Word and meditation on the Word and prayer around the Word, and just let the prophetic begin to draw us into something new and not just let it sit stagnant and never manifest. See, we have to be willing to shed an old mindset of comfort and familiarity, embrace a new mindset of growth and change in God's calling. Because you simply can't go and stay. It doesn't work that way. If we want to go where God wants us to go, we have to throw away the old way of thinking. Everybody say it again, mindset matters. I want to share something with you from the Word. One of my favorite stories, this is Luke 18. 35 to 43, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, says Jesus, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. He said, be quiet, leave Jesus alone. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, watch this part, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Great story of miracle, right? This story excites me so much, but not because of the miracle. I get excited about this man's way of thinking. Jesus comes to him because he's been screaming and hollering to get his attention. Despite opposition, he says, I've got to talk to him. And so Jesus comes to him, or actually he says, bring the man to me. And then Jesus asks this man the most ridiculous question. From the healer to the blind man, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Well, and this man's response is so amazing because he never asks for healing. He doesn't even ask for a miracle. Matter of fact, he doesn't even acknowledge himself as being blind. He simply says that I may receive my sight. Now look carefully at his wording. You notice the use of the possessive pronoun before sight. This man believes that the God David sings about in Psalm 103, the one who heals all our diseases, see, he knew that verse, has already got the finished work done for him and has his name tag on it because he says, I want my sight. Now, to the casual observer, sight is something that this man does not possess. But don't dare tell him that. He tells Jesus, let me receive my sight. It's ready for me. It's what you've already completed for me and you've already promised for me. It's already in your plan. I just don't possess it yet. You've got it laid out and ready for me, but I'm just not to it yet. I'm not blind. I'm not accepting that identity. I'm not taking on that mindset. But what I am is a future seer. Because you've already completed my healing. I know you have, but now, Jesus, I just need your help with something. I just need your help completing something that I can't complete on my own. I can't possess that sight on my own. What I need from you is for you to help me take hold of or appropriate that you've already ordained to be mine. Your word says you're our healer, so I'm not even asking you for a healing. I'm just asking you to help me possess the thing you already have for me. See, this man had such a loose grip on his present circumstances that he spoke about things that were not as though they actually were. Sounds a lot like faith and expectation to me. He actually jumped ahead in the process because he came to the meeting with Jesus already having the healed mindset. All he needed at that point was for Jesus to say, here you go. There was no preparation work necessary. And I won't get into it, but you notice that in other instances when Jesus healed the blind, he required a process from them to attain their healing. But in this case, this man was miracle ready when he showed up. Because his mindset was already on the miraculous. He was very loosely holding on to his current state because he was already on the next state in his mind. The problem for most of us is that we get such a death grip on the comforts of our current situation that we have a hard time facilitating the future that God has for us because we're so settled where we are. We can't allow our thinking to wrap its fingers around our current realities and grab hold of them too tight. We have to remember that you simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. Hold on loosely to the current circumstances in your life, but get a death grip on God's promises. And if we're going to step into what He's ordained to be ours in these last days, if we're going to truly be innovators and creators for the kingdom of God, if we're going to allow new gifts to be activated in our lives and new anointing to rest on us, then we have to allow the present mindset to crumble and be willing to adopt the thoughts that God has for us and about us. We had good conversation today with your pastor. We talked about Peter walking on the water. Jesus invited him to walk on the water. But Peter had to be willing to deal with his mind issue and with the facts of the situation, none of which were wrong. See, humans weren't normally water walkers. This is why boats were necessary. Fishing would be entirely different if they could all walk on the water. But Peter had to be willing to leave the boat mindset and get into a water walking mindset. Because you can't sustain a spirit move or invitation if you can't or won't deal with the mindset shift that's involved in that. Peter had to decide at some point to let go of the mindset that he had known his whole life. And that mindset said, if I step over the edge of a boat, I'm going under. And you know what? That mindset was exactly right. There was nothing wrong with it. But when God calls you into something new, it's not a criticism of where you've been. It's not saying where you were is wrong or that you were out of position. It's just saying it's time for something new. I'm ready for you, Peter. I'm ready for you to step into something that you're going to really need. You're going to really need some trust and some faith in me where I'm taking you, Peter. So we're going to start right here today. When God calls you into something new, it will very often contradict the conventional wisdom that you've established in your life. Jesus invited Peter to let go of an old mindset, one that was right and one that was proper for every previous season he had lived in, but one that would have to be released or else it would prevent the miraculous from happening in his life. You see what shift and transition and change is? It's releasing things from before, even if they were fine and well and proper, and opening up to say, God, I'm ready to move to something new. What was right and proper in the former season would have prevented the miraculous in this new season if Peter hadn't been willing to let it go. It's all about shifting. And at some point, we have to be willing to lay aside the comfort and security of knowing what's under our feet and what's holding us up, and be willing to step over the edge and let our faith be our footing. Folks, mindset matters. Back to Romans 12, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let your ruts get too deep in this current season you're living in. Don't let the present reality solidify and stagnate your vision. I'm about to wrap up. If you want to come on with the music, that'd be great. We have to allow God to renew our minds because that's the only way we can experience lasting transformation. You can't go to the next place God wants to take you if you're going to continue to think and see the world and see yourself and see your God in the way you currently are. We have to be willing to let our minds be renewed. We have to allow that transformation to happen, and it has to happen up here. Everybody point to this area right here. This is the problem area in our lives. This is the problem area right here. We have to have a mindset shift. There has to be the understanding that you simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. God, we want to go. We want the best gifts you have for us. We want the fresh anointing that you have for us. We want the most current vision that you have for us in your kingdom. We want to go, Lord, so help our mindsets shift and move and be flexible and pliable in your hands. Renew our minds. Transform the way we think and see ourselves in you and therefore change us. Change the way we view our position in your kingdom. So I ask you tonight, are you ready to be free from these current mindsets and these current ruts? Nothing wrong with where you are. Nothing wrong with it. This isn't a criticism at all. It's an invitation to step out of where you are and step into something new. You're tired sometimes of being tethered to these old stagnant mindsets that's been holding us back. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and be able to stay where I want to be. God helped me and gave me a little tool I want to share with you tonight to help us all become free from these old mindsets. This is how we apply the Word of God in our lives. And I'm a teacher, so you'll just have to bear with me on this practical thing. We have to be willing to do more than just listen and agree with what we hear. I've heard lots of sermons in my life that I listened to and totally agreed with them, and they never changed me at all. Guess whose fault that was? They're going to help me with some slides here tonight for us to see as we go along. The very first thing we have to do, everybody say filter. Determine with the help of God which thoughts and beliefs are old season and which ones are new season. Which ones are new calling and which ones are old calling? Which ones are boat standing and which ones are water walking? Filter our thoughts, Lord. Help us see the thoughts and the beliefs we need to adjust in order for our mindsets to shift. And you know the old thoughts when they come, because they usually have words with them like can't or won't or not possible or unlikely or too scary or not for me or uncomfortable. Or maybe they come in the form of rationalizing away something that you feel because it's different and new and requires change. And what will people think? You know the old thoughts. And if you don't, ask God to help you call them out. Filter them out. Second thing we have to do is replace. Everybody say replace. Replace the identified old thoughts and old beliefs with the new ones for this season. And to do this, you draw from the Word of God and from the Spirit that's calling you. Jesus called Peter, so the voice of Jesus had to replace the voice of experience in Peter's life that said, if I step over here, I'm going down. Peter made a willing choice to replace his own voice in his head that's saying, that's crazy, with the voice of Jesus that said, come on. He replaced it. And for some of us, we have to replace our current beliefs about who we are and what we're capable of doing with what God says about who we are. With the fact that the Word says we go from glory to glory. We move from level to level. We're more than conquerors. We're more than able. We're growing in Him, and that He's continually beckoning us to a higher place in Him. Replace that stagnant view of yourself with a growing, upwardly mobile view that God has of you through His Word. Get in the Scripture in this step and let the Word of God replace those old thoughts. And then the third thing we do is expect. Everybody say expect. So once you've filtered out the old thoughts, you replace them with what the Spirit and the Word says about you, then you have to begin to expect new opportunities in the Spirit. You have to anticipate that that's coming. Look for it. Feel after the new nudges and the bumps in the Spirit to move and do new things. Expect God to make good on the invitation, because He will. Expect new gifts to begin to emerge. Expect new opportunities for ministry and seed sowing to come your way. Expect God to open doors for you now that your mindset has begun to line up with His Spirit calling. Lean into the new things with expectation. Be looking for it. And then the last thing we do, everybody say engage. Engage in the new things when they come and do them with abandon. Don't let fear settle in with you. Don't let worry settle in with you. If God has called you to something new and you've dealt with the old mindset by filtering out those thoughts and you've replaced them with His Word, then your expectation will be met with opportunity. And when it comes, get out of the boat. Step on over the edge and engage with what God has for you, because God's calling us to some new and incredible things. Let's all be free. Can we agree to that tonight? Would you stand with me just for a moment? I'd invite every one of you to come down here tonight. As you take each step toward the front of this place this evening, I want you just to say, I'm leaving these old mindsets behind. With each step, Lord, I'm leaving them behind me, free from these old mindsets, free from them, God. I'm free from the cycles of the way I've always seen myself, free from the way I'm used to interpreting the world around me. Change, God, is what I desire. I want to be what You want me to be. I feel You calling me. I feel You pulling at me, God. I feel You dragging at my heart and tugging at me service after service. I know You're grabbing me and You're desiring for me to make a new change and a fresh commitment to You, God. Not that where I've been is wrong, but it's time for new. It's time for fresh. Don't be afraid to let go of old things and engage in new things. Because you simply can't go and stay. It just doesn't work that way. So for everyone who's come down here tonight, we're going to pray together very simply tonight that God's going to help every one of us to lay aside these old mindsets, that He's going to help us with the first step of this, and that is filter. Help us recognize when we begin to think about ourselves in an old way. And help us, God, to replace those old thoughts with new thoughts. To replace them, God, with what Your Word says about us. And to expect, God, that new opportunities are coming, that new doors are opening, and for us to be willing and bold enough to engage in those when they do. Now, God, I ask you for your help tonight. For every one of us who's stepping out here tonight and saying, this is me, God. This is me, God. This isn't condemnation on where I've been or what I've been doing. Because, God, you brought me to where I am now, and I'm grateful for it. But, God, I'm at a new place, Lord. I feel you calling at me. I feel you drawing at me, God. I know you've got fresh vision for me. I know I've felt it, God. I can't put my fingers around it. I might not fully understand where it's going to take me or what it's going to do to me. But, God, I know you have it. I know you have it, God. I can feel it in my spirit. I'm longing to go places I've never been in you. I'm longing to step out into new territory. I know you've laid it out for me, God, but I need your help. I need your help, oh God. I need your help. I pray, Lord, for everyone here tonight who says, yes, that's me. That's me, God. You're calling me to something new. Lord, help us to understand how it is that you made us and that we have to shut the door on the way we've seen ourselves, the way we've seen our positioning in your kingdom, the way we've seen the world around us. Any of those thoughts, any of those mindsets that may be outdated, God, help us right now in our mind to see those things for what they are. Help us to identify those thoughts as old thoughts, as old thoughts, and help us to embrace the idea of moving into new things. To a new season, to a new time, to a new anointing, to a new vision, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus. And if you've never known God, if you've never been filled with His Spirit, maybe this is your invitation tonight to step into something brand new and say, God, here I am. My heart is open to you. Fill me with your Spirit, oh God. I want everything you have for me. I long for everything that you have for me, Lord Jesus.
Nothing good in me, and you are love on display for all to see, and you are light when the darkness closes in, and you are hope, you have covered all my sin, yeah.
Help us, oh God.
You are peace when my fear is crippling, and you are true even in my wandering, and you are joy, you're the reason that I see, and you are life in you, death has lost its sting.
In the name of Jesus, release us, God, from these old ways of thinking. Let us release to you, God. We come against every bit of fear that would try to hold your people from moving into what you have for them. We rebuke the fear. We rebuke the worry. We reject it in Jesus' name. Let your love come in and surround us tonight, God. Let it wrap its arms around us. Let us know in confidence, God, that you have us and that you would never call us to something that's harmful for us. That you would never call us to a place that you're not going with us. That you won't equip us. That you won't carry us. That you won't walk with us. That you won't provide for us. Lord, we're willing. We give you 100% yes tonight. Yes, God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help our minds to shift. Help our thoughts to begin to shift. Let them line up with you, oh God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
And you are more than my words will ever say. And you are Lord. All creation will proclaim that you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God,
Let's continue to dig in. Oh, God is in this place. What a great word from God we heard tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.